can ask the same question. Where are the backlogs and how will they be resolved?
I think especially for our committee in terms of rural service delivery, do they have any alternative plans? Do they have plans such as harvesting from rivers or rainwater harvesting? Is there anything that they can implement knowing that they don't have the kind of budget for bulk infrastructure development? And I got the last point on this one is highlighting the declining allocations for environmental quality and protection, oceans and coasts, climate change, biodiversity and conservation programs. In the DEA budget, all these programs are shrinking, but the environmental needs of the country isn't diminishing. It's actually with climate change, the pressure on the environment is increasing. Okay, I think this is the last part. Continued budget cuts on the National Parks sub-program is a concern, especially in the light of the difficulty to respond to poaching. So apart from the fact that there's no contingency funding, they are seeing their typical budget being reduced, and this impacts on their ability to deal with poaching. How the Green Fund will be administered needs to be clarified. Our anti-poaching response is going to be paid for needs to be clarified. And again, there's a need to clarify with the department where additional funding might be coming from for service infrastructure maintenance and expansion. If they've got a shortfall, where would the money be potentially be coming from? So I know that's a lot of information to run through, but we've got both of these departments in one day, and they've both got a very complex budget, 6 programs per budget, sub-programs in the programs, and a lot of problems in the press. So what I've tried to do was just highlight some of the key issues that I think they might be able to respond to. If there's anything that I need to clarify further, I'll do that. But I think these were the points that could be highlighted. I hope that helps today.
Thank you so much. The one that we have now, the one that is a lot of work. Yeah, Chair, mine was just the question whether our researcher can give us some documents from what exactly what he said. Some documents so that we can have it in front of us to, you know, we have the clarity as you have highlighted. But one would like to have a copy so that when you sit in your office, you can, you know, look through the documents so that you have a clear view now. Yeah.
The presentation.
No, I'm talking about what he's been giving us now. Mm-hmm. Is it here?
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
That amount's been spent on dams, it's all black and white on me, if you know what I mean. There's no colour. So I have a problem with that, please, because otherwise I get to make a... You know, we've all just had provincial week where we turned around on Operation Clean Water. Now, where this comes in water effect, if I saw one sewage plant and I saw 10 that are floundering, now, Department of Water Affairs is supposed to, through the water boards, supply bulk water to the municipality. Then the actual sewage plants or water treatment plants, the municipalities, I've seen I don't know how many vessels from Bronkport, Machabin, Welcome there, where these plants are just totally dismally failing. then the municipality versus one is one standing covered under suit, and the contractor walked off the site after only completing about one quarter or went bankrupt. Now they're going to bring another contract to hopefully get the thing going, and this escalates the cost all the time. The actual sewage treatment or water treatment, the municipalities keep complaining they haven't got enough money to do this. Now, is it water fees or municipality? Because there's also an article here where when the came out in the newspaper, municipalities scope waterrade 2.1 billion. So sometimes they're supplying the water, but the billing system, so they're not water boards on being paid. Where does the buck stop with what? Why are the municipalities complaining for water sewage fees? Is this not water? Why are they? That's number one. Question number two. It was very much in the papers that acid mining was drained. Now it seems to be quieting down and nobody knows what's going on. It's something like 250 million, which is a faulty sum, to help solve the problem. And then they had this Trans-Caledon company that was supposed to be getting underway, but we've heard nothing. What is the status quo on that at the moment? Thanks.
Okay. So we have not yet started honorable, just having an overview from our session, at least to give us an overview about what is going to happen in this document. If the department is also telling us, then we can.
Okay, in terms of poaching or a response to any kind of problem such as poaching, there isn't a contingency fund with Environmental Affairs where they can allocate money to deal with the problem that shows up like poaching. In terms of the rural water supply, we know that the department's got a problem.
Just to introduce ourselves, maybe one for what
first in Auckland and environmental affairs from the Eastern Cape. I'll hand over to the Honourable Member, first in
Constitution. Good morning. My name is O'Neill Zabir. I am a member of this committee of the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Daryl Worth. I'm a member of this committee and I'm from the Free State.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. My name is Humphrey Makwara. I'm a member of this committee from the Northern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Mzwani Lenawa and I'm from PMG.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Lisa McCourt. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Judy Beaumont and I'm the DG for Climate Change and Air Quality.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Isham Abada. I'm the DDG for Environmental Quality and Protection.
Good morning, Members. I'm Sibong Svenisano, Director in the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, Members. I'm Gwanda Lemashi, the Parliamentary Officer in the Department.
Thank you very much. We don't have time, so we must rush because we're going to have two persons today. From 10:30 to 11:25 is the briefing by the Department of Environmental Affairs. All the studies explained and annual performance plan. I think everybody has got the agenda in front of you of them. So according to the apologies, I've got four apologies. Honourable Hobby, Honourable Zulu, Honourable Bunda, Honourable Mabe, and Honourable Ndwanandi. So we've got only four apologies. I think we must start and then those who are coming, they will join us on the way. I don't want to waste time. I must go straight to the department to give us instructions. And also tell us which document I am using.
And thank you, Honorable Chair. The presentation that was translated is what we will quickly take you through. It is self-explanatory, but I will just try and emphasize key areas so that we will allow you to ask ask the questions for purposes of responding to the committee. In respect to the strategic plan of the department and the annual plan of operation, we tabled the documents as the rules of parliament to the speaker and the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. And basically, this is the presentation that summarizes the detailed documents that were tabled in March. The strategic plan of the department is based on the legislative work that is undertaken by the department, basically covering why the department has to exist and what are we responsible for. And we also touch on the overview and of functions of the department and the structure, and then the mission, the vision, the mission, and the values, and the strategic goals and the objectives. Next slide. The department's mandate is, as you may appreciate, honourable members, outlined in Section 24(3) of the Constitution, and which gives us the responsibility constitutionally to facilitate and make sure that the environment that the South African citizens live in is not harmful to their health and well-being. And it is protected for the present and future generations. In terms of the laws, we have the Principal Act, which is the National Environmental Act of 1998, which principally then is the mother law that through which the other specialist pieces of legislation followed through, both in terms of the conservation of the species in the environment broadly, in the terrestrial environment and also in the marine environment. We have legislation that covers issues of pollution and how to best manage considerations of waste that gets disposed of in the environment, whether on land or in water, and also how we deal with the pollution of the air. So the World Heritage Convention Act is the act that provides for both cultural and natural sites in the country, and then the Protected Areas Act, the Air Quality Act, the Biodiversity Act, Waste Act, and the Integrated Coastal Management Act. All of those are the pieces of legislation that are subordinate legislation to NEMA, which is the National Environmental Management Act. In respect to the functions and programs of the department, we have six programs. And those programs are outlined both in terms of what the focus is strategically and also what has to be delivered in terms of outputs overall. Program one is administration, two is the environmental quality and protection, through which most of the functions that respond to managing pollution of the environment, the air environment, or even the other resilient environment in terms of the land. Oceans and Coasts branch, which is program three, is responsible then for actions that department undertakes in respect to the ocean environment. And the climate change branch is responding to then the work of effective response, both mitigation and adaptation in the country to the impacts of climate change. And then Biodiversity and Conservation Grants deals more with the terrestrial biodiversity functions in terms of protection both in areas that are declared protected areas, but also even outside of protected areas. There are other environments which are also protected environments, or at least have protected species. And then the program six is then the environmental sector programs project. This is where we have integrated the programs working for water, which came from the Department of Water Affairs and was transferred to the Department of Environmental Affairs, and the other public works projects. This department structure has involved honorable members, and it's been refined by the minister on the basis of both ensuring functionality but also responsiveness to the changing requirements of government. At this point, there's a need for greater specialization and us being able to be versatile in respect of responding to other environmental pressures and new areas like areas of fracking and other developments that should be considered for the economy. And in that branch, we are trying to then integrate the work of the international unit that was in the old structure together with the environmental intelligence and sustainable development. The environmental programs branch is there. Then oceans and coast was in this old structure, biodiversity and conservation and climate change branch. But then what has happened from the air, the environmental quality and protection branch, the air quality functions have been integrated with the climate change functions. And then on waste management and chemicals management, we have then put a new branch, or at least a creation of a new branch, basically to respond to both service delivery requirements, both in terms of supporting municipalities as well as making sure that there is a system of waste stream management in terms of the implementation of the Waste Act overall. The branch legal and authorizations and compliance is a branch then that would focus on enforcement functions, the compliance functions in terms of decisions that are made in the department. There is also ongoing compliance requirements that must be undertaken, and those are the areas of need in terms of greater capacity in respect to implementation of our pieces of legislation that have been passed through this parliament. And then the Chief Operating Officer and then Corporate Management Services have also been put together as a standalone program. Members, on the strategic plan, our strategic plan does respond to government priorities, both in terms of what was outlined by the State President at the State of the Nation Address, and also the midterm review that has been undertaken by the presidency. And in that regard, there is still then overall a greater focus on health, and ourselves as a department, we have actions and milestones that link to this area of health through air quality management and water management practices, and on education. We have a strategy for sector human capital development, both in terms of making sure that at school level there is an appetite for children to understand the environmental sector and even look forward to subjects that will take them through to this area in terms of their careers. Over and above that, we do have a program also with higher education on greening the higher education institutions, making sure that even the people that stay in those residences whilst they are studying at school do understand the imperative of them having to respond to reducing carbon footprint, to making sure that they practice or at least implement sustainability practices in their day-to-day running of those institutions, fighting crime and corruption. Again, here the department is enforcing compliance, and we are strengthening our enforcement and compliance initiatives, both to promote and uphold the departmental values, but at the same time also to respond to the overall call on making sure that public service is gotten rid of the possibilities of chances of corruption. On human settlement, again, this is an area where we overlap with other departments but contribute in the area of basic waste services, but also in making sure that there is proper open space planning that would facilitate resilience of those communities, or at least those settlements, in respect to a flooding over time and other extreme weather events. We have an overall contribution to the development or the growth priorities of the country in respect to job creation. As I indicated, even in terms of the structure, we have a great deal of programs and projects that we are implementing that focus on contributing in those outcomes that are expected in respect to the implementation of the new growth path. The department is also responsible now for the green fund that the Minister of Finance appropriated last year, and we are working with the DBSA to make sure that the implementation in terms of setting small enterprises in the area of sustainability in respect to various business opportunities is going to be followed through implementation, or at least the disposal or the use of those funds. In respect to the other, I'm now jumping just to comment on the focus of parts of the President's State of the Nation address around the areas of priority development, the zones, regional development zones that were outlined in the President's speech. As a department, we are improving our environmental regulatory system to make sure that those developments are undertaken in a sustainable fashion. They do take into account the resource that in those the resources in those areas and their long-term sustainability into the future. We have set up various systems for our ability to strengthen the environmental management frameworks, and also using strategic environmental assessments and tools that would reinforce our proactiveness in that regard, so that the EIA system is not then clogged and unnecessarily being seen to be causing delays. On the area of mining, I think that we also just wanted to highlight to the committee that there is a process of alignment on between the regulatory framework of the department and that of the Mineral Development Act, both in terms of the environmental authorization processes, but also over and above that, in terms of what is referred to as offsets, in terms of areas where we probably have a biodiversity losses, there is possible possibilities of exploring buffers that would at least begin to help to mitigate the impacts of those developments into the long term. So there is a broad alignment process also in terms of the Protected Areas Act, which in some instances we are supposed to promulgate national protected areas, and we would expect that those areas would at least be immune from mining activities. But it does seem that into the future we may have to find systematic processes with the Department of Mineral Resources to make sure that that alignment happens before even those decisions are made, and there is agreement that those are sensitive environments and they have to be protected in the manner in which we suggest they be protected. Mission, vision, and values, we did not change our vision, honorable members. However, we refined our mission because our previous mission was somewhat restating the vision, and now we are then explaining more in terms of the mission, how the department is contributing overall, and where we want to be in respect to who we are supporting and who we are serving as a sector. So we say that we are going to be providing leadership in environmental management and in conservation and protection towards sustainability for the benefit of South Africans and the global community. So the mission is more clearer from what we had in the past. We also refined our values, we changed our values, but if you recall, we used to call them PIPs, but we now still have the PIPs that we had in the values, but we are now emphasizing passion, because we still have to continue to have the feel and the outlook of proactiveness as a department in respect to being custodians and the ambassadors for the work that we do. We are still going to be people-centric in the approach in which we do things as an organization, and we still commit to serve with integrity and driven by high performance and the outcomes associated with the work of the department. On goals, we have three goals, and those are outlined. We've maintained what we had in the last strategic plan which we presented last year. But now coming to the priorities, which is also the question that you gave us when you said we must prepare for this presentation. We have a priority linked to compliance with statutory tables and prescripts, and also managing the risks and performance, including making sure that we continue to have unqualified audit reports as a department. And the other strategic objective is linked to a priority of making sure that there is access to information, and we have to respond to resolving presidential hotline queries within prescribed time frames, and our target is to be able to do that within 3 days, and also responding to parliamentary questions within reasonable time frames in line with the time that is allocated by the question, the office that is handling questions in Parliament. We have not been doing as well as we used to in this area, honourable members, and we do hope that we'll continue to put in place systems for improving between the department and the ministry to streamline the processes of responding to the parliamentary questions. Media briefing and public participation events are continuing. And as you know, there are events that the department responds to which are more on the international calendar, and a few of the events are also defined in terms of the national priority. In respect to the skilling of staff and making sure that we have intended capability to make sure that we deliver the service as a department, we hope to manage our turnover rates and continue to train and develop staff in line with what is outlined in the individual performance development plans of staff members. In respect to the issues related to transformation and creating a conducive working environment, again, in this area, we still have had in the previous financial year labor matters that were not fully resolved, and we hope that that is going to be improved into the future, and the wellness of staff would continuously be improved, including our construction of the new departmental building. In respect to information management and overall system management in the organization, we hope to continue with the final phases of the master systems plan, which we started implementing 2 years ago. And honorable members, I'm not then going to go into details in all of the areas. Suffice to say that we have given an outline in program one in terms of what are the key actions that are related to those strategic objectives that are linked to the priorities of the department. And for program two, we have also similarly outlined such, but let me just spend a bit of time there because you wanted more information on the environmental quality and protection area, which is a program two currently. One day we have a strategic objective to improve compliance with environmental legislation, which is where our enforcement and compliance unit is focusing its actions. We work with provinces and municipalities in this area, both in terms of coordinated investigations, serving of notices where there are at least deviations or at least indications of criminal conduct in respect to the laws, the environmental laws, and we then take those matters through the court system or the justice system. This is also an area where, even in terms of the other functions of the department, the green areas, I think in the main we've had more issues about rhino poaching as a big challenge. But the way in which we undertake that work is then linked to that strategic objective of improving compliance and environmental legislation. You will be able to assess whether we are making progress in that regard when we report in the course of the year. And in the APP, we've outlined the indicators and the timelines for us to deliver that service. In respect to impacts of negative impacts of all significant developments being managed. Here again, we're talking about the web of processing EIA applications and still developing a system that facilitates effectiveness in the system across the provinces and even also at national, because we are also dealing with some of the authorizations as a national department. Similarly, in respect to other permits, whether it's a waste license as well as then the CITES permits in terms of species that are covered by an international trading system. In respect to waste management, we have an objective of making sure that part of Chapter 4 of the Waste Act also comes to effect, particularly the instruments that would have to be put in place, the regulations and guidelines, both in terms of waste classification and also making sure that we increase the recyclables in respect to waste, various waste streams, and the recovery of waste, and including establishing of the buyback centers and provision of basic waste services. In respect to the ocean and environment, here we are focusing on the development of the oceans policy, which will come to Parliament in the course of this financial year, and continue with oil pollution emergency response measures, and increase the protection of the coastline, including using tools like the development of waste management, or not waste, coastal management plans, and also plans for managing protected species in the marine environment. In respect to the focus on science and research, honourable members may appreciate that Agalas has come to the end of his lifetime, and we are receiving a new ship next week, and hopefully we will then be able to expand our research and applied science operation to Antarctica and other parts of the seashore. Coming to then the performance targets, as I've outlined the objectives, the presentation from slide 17 up until slide 23 reflects then the proposed policy initiatives and targets, which is the question that also we had to respond to in respect to preparing for this committee. We have the National Coastal Management Program guidelines, which is going to be the work that will be initiated in this financial year, and we are also going to have initiatives implemented in terms of the land-based sources of pollution. We have a national plan of action in respect to those initiatives, and in this financial year we'll be focusing on industrial waste and sewage gets to sea coming from the land areas. And the estuary management protocol is going to be the protocol that we use as a guide for planning operational management and operational management of estuaries, both in terms of local government, provincial government, and national. So that is a protocol to which we are going to be expecting each other to be responsible and hold each other accountable in respect to managing estuaries. On oil spill preparedness, we are looking at centralizing this function in terms of oil spill equipment. We've had in the past stores more in Cape Town, and we're trying to build our storage and the equipment that is required for an oil spill, an effective oil spill response in the KZN coast, but also in future, we are also considering, at least in the Southern Cape or in the areas around Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape, on the East Coast. Program 4, again, there are the activities that are outlined there, but in particular, the policy initiatives and performance targets that are outlined, there is a proposed initiative along the lines of a long-term adaptation scenario study, which study is going to at least outline and give us information about what could then be the municipality's emergency responses for the various areas in the country in respect to extreme weather events. And there is an implementation plan that has been developed and based on research into two sectors, water, agriculture, and commercial forestry. And we're looking at making sure that those are in place before the end of the financial year. I'm not sure whether it's the financial year or the term. Risk analysis studies will be conducted in 8 sectors, and those are the targets that are outlined in respect to those sectors in terms of making sure that we address the gaps and the anomalies that are existing in the current policies. Program 5, our policy initiatives and targets. In that area, there is a comprehensive review of NEMBA, which is the Biodiversity Act, in order for it to be in alignment with provincial biodiversity legislation. We did a gap analysis and in respect to where things are in respect to the various provincial legislation. Some of the provinces still have the old ordinances which needed to be repealed, and that is then the program that we are then following through from that gap analysis. We are looking at a framework for mainstreaming biodiversity in local authorities, and that includes outreach to local government and authorities, and specific capacity building initiatives for at least three provinces, Gauteng, Limpopo, and KZN. But if possible, we'll get to other areas, but as a minimum, those are the three provinces that will be covered in this period. There will be a review of NBSEP through stakeholder engagement in respect to the action plan, biodiversity action plan, and we are also looking at biodiversity management plans for species with specific focus on the lions and rhinos. There will be a review of the World Heritage Act, whilst also there is a consideration that law be transferred to the Department of Arts and Culture as the department that Cabinet at some point decided we should actually facilitate the transfer to. And we are, the Minister is working with the Minister of Arts and Culture to then confirm how that process would unfold. Program 6, we have outlined a project breakdown in respect to provinces on some of the projects on working for water, working on fire, and some of the waste initiatives, people and parks initiatives, and we can give them the statistics where appropriate in respect to the outcomes and the outputs, whether in terms of jobs and also hectares cleared, if it's about clearing, and where we have at least managed to have fires that were probably there were outbreaks of fires, how those were dealt with in terms of making sure that they were put under control before disastrous experiences were found in various municipalities. So at that point, honourable members, I mean, this is more the summary. The DDGs are here to give the specifics, and we thought that we should just present the high-level presentation outlining what is covered in the strategic plan and the annual plan of operation. Thank you.
Thank you, Tichy. I think we are not going to waste time. We're going to hand over to the honorable members to ask some questions. I don't know, Tichy, but you know, as the members of the parliament, we are the ones that were going to the provinces to check what is it going. You know, there's a lot outside. I'm just talking out of the thing. That is there's a lot. For example, I received a call from Almanos where they said that they are complaining about environmental affairs. They said that the town is dirty. So I'm just talking out of document because we are just oversight these towns, oversight the areas. So what are you doing in the smaller towns like those Alwa North? Those programs are just in the maybe in the N2, maybe in those areas that are on the road. What happens to the rural towns? Because there's a lot. We don't see you guys in the rural towns. I'm just out of the judgment. Okay.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation as well. But there is a few issues which I want to deal with. One is in relation of your program, the fund program. Because what I'm having in front of me, I see a decline on some of your key programs in terms of your budgetary processes. And there is an increase on some of the few, which I think, according you, it's your priority programs which are driving Asia Department. Let me show you the one which I think I'm having an interest in. It's your ocean and coast program, where we have actually a decrease of almost 75% in your budget, although it reflects on the new vessel which you purchased. But it seems to me you didn't budget for the maintenance of the vessel. Clearly, which you are thinking that your own, there's no need for you to budget for that vessel. Hence, it is a new vessel. But anything can happen, and then we're going to get the funds from. The other one which is the climate change program. In that one is worse. It is actually a 77% decrease in the budget allocation for it, and which is such a huge thing in the world, climate change. The other one, which I think it is the one where you drive your poverty eradication program and you're rising your unemployment, it is your sectoral program, which has a little bit of an increase in it, and I might be able to understand it, because it seems it's a 32% increase, because it's there where you're driving your job creation program. Your biodiversity and conservation one, there is only a 3% growth in it. I can't understand how did you make your allocation in terms of the priority. Maybe I needed to be assisted there. And because when I looked at the way how you budgeted for your programs, the first question which arises for me is, will you be able to meet your constitutional obligations with the budget in front of you? I think that one is critical, because your obligations are met through the resources which you put towards your program. One critical one as well is the issue of the national parks sub-program. I think in our country, we know what's going on in terms of the wildlife poaching in our parks, but it doesn't reflect in terms of budget as a priority, while people are crying that we need to protect this wildlife, and your budget is in contrast with it. And what's my last one is, how did you budget for your anti-poaching program? I'm asking this because of the fact that now we're having the SADF also being a key role player in this program. How will they able, how, where is that fund comes from? That funding comes from. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the department. My questions are more probably a bit deviation from the budget, but on the controversial things regarding the department. First of all, it was a tire recycling scheme. What has happened to that was quite controversial, I think, within the paper. Secondly, ocean management. Yes, the FAA Dulles is doing its last run to Marion Island. What happens with all the other ships that are laid up at Simonstown and Mondlesmith dispute? How far is that? Is that sorted out? Thirdly, National Coastal Management, Green Scorpions, do they fall under your department? What money has been allocated? How successful do you think they are? I'd also like to know how many vacancies there are at the moment in the department. And environmental affairs. Then medical waste, is this under control? In the Free State, there was large dumping of medical waste around Machabeng, Welcome area. A person was taken to court, and nothing has ever happened. Cost $52 million. We're still waiting in great anticipation 2 or 3 years down the line. The company was wasting. Then acid mine drainage, I see you connected with that. In the sort of a consortium or whatever with proper water affairs and others, what exactly are you doing there? How much money have you allocated for, or are you just sort of overseeing this, much as we ask for also rehabilitation of mines? The mines are under duty to rehabilitate. We've had two now in Machabeng that have rehabilitated Harmony mines, but there must be dozens of them over the country. How much money have you allocated to ensure that the mines are properly rehabilitated and we don't have acid mine drainage happening elsewhere? Undertaken on a large scale, and we don't have Zama problems. Then, of course, also I would like to know what amount of money has been budgeted for the Green Climate Fund, because we see no specific budget allocation, and what ideas have you got in mind for instance such a thing as carbon taxes, etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to rhino poaching, I would like a question in this form: that are we losing the battle to protect our rhinos, or are we winning the battle? Chair, I'm asking this question because the more the department intensifies its protection to the rhinos, the more we get reports indicating the increase on the poaching of rhinos. Has the department really looked thoroughly into how do people come and poach? Is it not probably an inside work that could be involved there to sort of open a loophole for the poachers to have the advantage? I have two questions now. The other one has just slipped my mind. The other one, here it is now, comes. The issue of waste management, especially from hospitals, what has the department done to see to it that the waste management is done according to expectation, especially from health institutions, because that's where dangerous waste comes from? I think it is last year when we visited the Eastern Cape, where we were on the spot. It's during taking government to the north. It's not the Eastern Cape. I think it's KZN. Yeah, KZN. We were on the spot of the dumping area, and which it was said in the report of the department that dumping area has been closed. And when we visited that dumping area, a truck came in with waste to come and dump it. And there was no one to check at that spot. There was no one to check that the trucks are no longer bringing this waste here. Those will be two questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for coming late to the meeting. With regards to job creation, I appreciate your response to the PWP program. my question is, don't you have a plan for the unemployed graduates? Secondly, we have also done well as a department last year in preparation for climate change. How far is the country with regards to the green economy in rural areas, as the chair was alluding to the dirty towns? Each towns are still, you know. Lastly, clarity on the processing of the EIA application. Does it mean we are shifting from 18 months and above? How is your plan? How is the provinces and municipalities develop a strategy of shared services to those provinces and municipalities that have no capacity for the EIA, so that we get a quicker response with regards to the case?
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Mother. I don't know, Honourable Members, because now the time is 11:23. I don't know whether it will be proper for us to let the department to respond in writing. If there's any second round of questions, I'll let the members to ask, and then the department will respond in writing and give those answers before the end of this week. Must get the responses, because we don't have time. Other members are going to leave this house at about 12:15, so they must listen to all the presentations. Honourable members, are we agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Honourable. Quick.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. So please respond to those questions in writing. Before the end of this week, you must get the responses, because we're going to use those responses. Okay, thank you very much for your presentation. I think I must give the briefing by the Department of Water Affairs to start to brief us now. Yes. You want to say something?
I thought all of the members would take 5 minutes just to clarify the budget questions and one or two of the others. But we still send them in writing.
Okay.
Because Water Affairs is not here yet. The cleaning of towns, even municipal function, and the landfill site are managed by municipalities. But we do have interventions to help municipalities. But it's not like we don't get much input also from projects. So we prioritize and we are moving from province to municipality, from district to district. And at this point in time, I can say that the department has a plan through which we are helping municipalities to deal with the issue of cleanliness, as well as the awareness raising in general around dumping of waste and making sure that people at least live in cleaner spaces. The matter about medical waste, we said, I think last year, we have to work with the Department of Health. I'm just saying broadly, that is a matter that we're still trying to resolve with the Department of Health. All right, then that's fine. Okay.
The problem is that all of us remember. The planning is going to start with the planner is going to start at 1:30, not 2:00. Because we're going to have the final question from the president.
Okay.
So I must.
Listen to that one. Listen to that one.
New
we'll see new faces because we don't know our members. I'm Honorable Noel Thando Xekane. I'm the chairperson of the committee, Land and Environmental Affairs, NSOC. I'm deployed by the Eastern Cape in the NSOC. So, all in all, I'm from the Eastern Cape. I will hand over to my honorable member, Wes.
Thank you, Chair, and welcome to the Department. My name is Darryl Wes. I'm a member of this committee in the NCOP, and I'm from the Free State, for a starter.
Thank you. You have already introduced me. More, let me complete. Yeah, I am from the Northern Cape.
Mamuna Silvia Ramaka Asla from KZN, a member of this committee.
Ask Obama, can I say good
morning? Good morning, Professor Esther, researcher for the committee.
Good morning, Zoni Lengokwana from PMT.
Good morning, the chairperson of the committee and members of the committee. My name is Maxwell Sifanya. I'm newly appointed Director General of Water Affairs since January. I've just confessed and pleaded with the chairperson that normally I should have found time, just didn't manage the best suitable time to introduce myself to the chairperson of this committee so that we don't meet for the first time here. Be that with me, that's how it has happened. Kenya with the 1 year in the water sector, mainly with water board. And I'll just ask the other members of my team to introduce themselves. They'll be making presentations as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Talisem Fundakubi, the CFO for Department of Water Affairs and Mineral Accounts.
Good morning. Faisal Ismail, Acting CFO for WTE Trading Account.
My name is Zaji Lemat, Acting Deputy Director General for Infrastructure.
Good morning, Chair members. I'm Tandy Gambasa. I'm responsible for the provinces, for the nine provinces.
My name is Vincent Munena. I'm parliamentary support for on the DG service.
Thank you. Thank you, welcome you, DG, in this committee. We are a very, very nice committee. We're not going to have any problems in this committee. The only thing that we want something that has been done to those, the thing that must go straight. We must not tell this in the book, but nothing on the provinces. So that's what we want in this committee, because we are doing the oversight day in and day out. That is the problem of this committee. Thank you very much. I think we'll work close to each other, and we'll work very hard with each other to make this committee vibrant again. Thank you very much. I think I must hand over to the department also to brief us, because we don't have time, as I said. Thank you very much. Feel free. Thank you. Okay. You might
have
Thank you, Chair. I'll start the presentation. When the overview starts with the, we look at the value chain of the water supply, and we overview the structure, functions and the structure of the department, and also indicate what the department does. We look at the strategic overview, the vision and the mission and value of this thing, of the department, the strategic goals and objectives, and the estimates of national expenditure allocation, the program, and progress on the MDGs. We have been with the portfolio committee one time last week, and most of these form part of our annual performance plan and are repetitive, but we repeat them just for emphasis and to remind of ourselves what we are actually meant to do in terms of the mandate. And if we look at the managing of the water along the value chain, more elaboration on what I've said above, we follow the slides starting with the water resources management charge and the extraction of water, impoundment from rivers to dams, boreholes and springs. And while we do that, we sell the project. That is why you've got the bulk infrastructure national in terms of our mandate as the charge of water resources. Part of that is the development of the infrastructure, and the development of that infrastructure imposes on us to charge for the water we sell. So we've got that trading entity, both as Zandile, the lady looking at our infrastructure, and the CFO doing that. We sell the water in bulk, mainly to water boards and municipalities, and we have a raw water a pricing strategy to follow. That's the bulk water carrier. And the fee, if you go to that, then it goes to the municipal entities and the bulk water tariff, either by municipalities, sorry, the water boards, who incidentally are also having sessions today here, and then recirculation of water to consumers is the, and we've got a retail water tariff. Like any price, I mean, it starts with a bulk price, and it goes higher as you put more infrastructure in terms of the charges. It's an administered price and requires a consultative process before we actually reach. Some of you might have followed the press coverage when our minister made a lot of press statements last week, and looking at the infrastructure investment for the next 10 years, and a lot of people wanted to know what the impact of that in price would be. And so then you have your consumers from 4 to 5, and then you add to that the once the wastewater activity and the pricing for that, and of course the treatment of sewerage and the return of the discharge into the water, which is actually monitored as to meet certain standards, treatment and return of water to the rivers, which adds more to the resource. So, it back to the whole full cycle, and what you do with in terms of the discharge. And at times, if we've got working infrastructure, especially on wastewater infrastructure, the quality of the water put back into the system is even of a better quality than what you find in some rivers. Okay, next one. Overview of functions programs, administration. The purpose of the program, if you look now, these are the different various sections in terms of our expenditure and programs. And if you look at the administration, it is to provide policy leadership. We'll look at those again, even in terms of what we did spend on. Advice and core support services, including finance, human resources, legal, information management, communication and corporate planning. And then the second one, water sector management. And the program ensures that the country's water resources are protected, used, developed,
conserve, manage and control in a sustainable manner for the benefit of all of the people and the environment through effective policies, integrated planning strategies, knowledge base and procedures. If you look even in the National Water Resources Strategy, which is a chapter in the National Water Act, this is our mandate as the custodian of the National Water Resources conferred to us by Parliament on behalf of the people of South Africa. What we have to do with the water resources is to ensure that they are protected. In protecting them, you are not prevented. You use, and as for the able to use further, you develop that. But we have to conserve, because we are a water-scarce country, and we manage and control in terms of in allocation how it's used for the benefit of the people. And the environment, by the way, in terms of the reserve, because it's not just the human beings or human habitat, it's the environment as well that has to ensure that we adequate supply of water. Water infrastructure management program is to ensure a reliable supply of water from bulk water resource infrastructure within acceptable risk parameters to meet sustainable demand objectives for South Africa. To solicit and source funding to implement, operate and maintain bulk raw water resources infrastructure in an efficient and effective manner by strategically managing risk and assets. And then the regions, which is headed by Ms. Mbasa, regional implementation and support. The purpose of the program is to coordinate implementation of the department strategy, goals and objectives at the regional level, which is where things are actually happening. Yes, we are coordinating nationally, but things are happening at the regions, at the local level as well, including the establishment of water resource management institutions, facilitate water conservation and demand management and access to water infrastructure by communities. As a water scarce country, demand management and conservation is key, because if we waste water, then not only does it become expensive to provide, the resources are limited as well. We postpone further investment by actually making sure that the water, limited water resources we have, are used efficiently, and we support the municipality in those programs. And to continue the water sector, water sector regulation. The purpose of the program is to ensure the development, implementation, monitoring, and review of the regulation across the water value chain in accordance with the provisions of the National Water Act and the Water Services Act. And then lastly, since international water cooperation, the purpose of the program is to strategically develop, promote, and manage international relations on water resources between countries through bilateral and multilateral cooperation instruments and organizations. A further aim is to drive national interest in both Africa, multilateral and global multilateral organization and fora. You will appreciate, Chair and members, we share a number of river water sources in a number of countries, Lesotho, Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, etc. So in the first instance, especially now, the Kimba Festival of Lesotho to the Orange River abstraction, it's important we have to have protocols of cooperation and the water usage with these countries. In the main, we're talking about surface water, but in some areas, it's groundwater. We don't probably exploit groundwater resources in a big way than other countries, but the aquifers can be shared as well, groundwater sources between countries. So it's important to have protocols of the usage of water. There are alarmist figures we hear in radios that I'm not sure how accurate they are, that the next world war will be over water resources. I hope that doesn't happen in our part of the world. Spanish estimate of national expenditure program structure versus planogram, and we've already highlighted those various programs. This is more elaboration of what I've already mentioned, program 1 to program 6. This is relates to the above, so we can go over. And the strategic planning is linked to government priorities, and the performance plan has been developed in alignment with the 2009-2014 MTSF, and the department contributes to a number of outcomes. and Department of Water Affairs is a significant partner and central to the service delivery program. It directly contributes to 5 out of the 12 outcomes in line with the government's approach to facilitate a focused implementation program. Note that the priorities of the department for the medium term 2011 up to 2014, parallel to addressing the outcome as per the performance agreement of the minister with the president, are also aimed at addressing the sustained agenda of the department, which addresses equally important and urgent service delivery issues. And these are the outcomes against the strategic objectives of the department. We'll have the strategy objectives on the left from 1 to 6 matching with the MTS outcomes. For example, Chair will take the liberty to look at that. I'll use just the example of one. I won't read all of them in the interest of time. Strategic objective goal 1, contribute to economic growth, rural development, food security, and land reform, which probably you have touched on the other programs before. And this tie with the MTS outcome 6, which is the efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network, and 7, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities with food security for all, and 8, which is a responsive, accountable, effective, and efficient local government system, and 9, a responsive, accountable, effective, and efficient local government system, 10, environmental assets and natural resources that are well protected and continually enhanced. That's the example, Chair, and they go up to 6 matched with those on your right-hand side. And then if we go to the vision, mission, and values of the department, we could have started with that. We just followed the format of the annual performance planning. The vision of the department says safe water for all, forever. And the mission is to effectively manage the nation's water resources to ensure equitable and sustainable socio-economic development and universal access to water. And if I may mention with the reviews we're undertaking, we want to look legislative reviews more on the equity component, because the feeling is that the water resources historically has tended to favor a certain sector of our community. So it's important as we reform this that we actually also address those who have been left out, and they're both in terms of allocation. Some would have more than they actually need, and the new license makes sure that now either they reduce what they are entitled to and so that it can be shared with others. The values of the department as a tree is the transparency. We fulfill our mandate in an ethical and open manner. Respect, we respect and each other as well as our clients and the needs of our citizens. Excellence, we are leaders and innovators in our sector who get it right on time every time. And everyone, we are a caring employer who true teamwork serves South Africa's people. And then we look at the strategic goals and objectives. We also listed from 1 to 6, which we've actually covered before, Chair, and then the strategic objectives would be like the one for economic growth and rural development. There are 2 strategic objectives above that: ensure the availability of water supply for economic and domestic use, and 2, to implement programs to create job opportunities, etc. And each, like your 2, would have the 6 strategic objectives that outlined on your right, starting with the first, setting strategic framework for the water management in the country, etc. Right up to, and then the continue, Chair, right up to the last one, building capacity, because part of our, if you if I can just on the looking for tree, what part of our role, besides policy and formulation, is the regulatory aspects of our web. And regulatory in terms of both the number of ways, allocation, even the water quality issues. Right now, being a sector leader, although in terms of the different competences, provision of water, sanitation services, the responsibility of municipalities, when things go wrong, it's our department, it's our minister who has to answer. I give an example, you can follow the press, the problems in Deep Slope, the whole of more than 1 week, disrupted contaminated water supply in the area of Johannesburg by the most advanced and the biggest entity in South Africa, Johannesburg Water. Yes, it was a contractor, but it was contracted by them. So our regulatory team has to get involved there to, first of all, to ensure the water is safe. We know it was not safe. Are there or what was the cause of that? We'll still do a post-mortem on that, because it's just now, also even the dealing with those problems is too, we feel it took longer than it should have. It's not a good advertisement even in terms of institutional realignment and the role you think that entities advance. But this is part of our responsibility to improve the regulation of the water sector, improve the water use authorization, improve the regulation of water quality through compliance, which is what I've been talking about, monitoring and enforcement. But we also don't just come with a heavy stick. We support as well when they fail, especially the small municipalities, as they presentation by members of my team from the regions as well. They'll elaborate more on that, how we support local government to deliver water services by ensuring the provision of local government institutional support, broadening access to water services, dealing with the basic services and eradication of backlogs. So contribute to improve international relations, coordinate strategic international water cooperation as I mentioned before, and also build the capacity to deliver quality services. And we do that by ensuring organizational performance and leadership. And we ensure that there's a transformed socio-economic participation, not just dealing with the established and the in terms of especially urban versus rural, and make sure that, and also small, big municipalities, we have that interest. And so basically that is as far as I want to go. And without further measure, I do, Chair, I'll get the CFO who deals with our main entity, Fundapubi, to go to the next one. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Once more, good morning, honorable members. I am going to give you a briefly of the allocation of the budget for the current year that we have already started for from April. It looks very small. Okay, no, it's fine. The DG has elaborated on the issue of the programs that support the department. If I go to program one, I will also do the comparison in terms of the budget that was allocated for the previous financial year that we have just closed. For this current year, for program one, we have a budget of 883 million. For program two, to support the activities for program two, we have the budget of 216. And for program three, which is our infrastructure unit, we have the budget of 2.4. For program four, which is where the activities of the regionals take place, we have an allocation of the budget of 4.8 billion. For program five, we have the budget of 114 million. And the International Water Corporation Program 6, we have the budget of 25 million. All in all, the allocation of the budget that we have for this current year is 8.8, which is a decrease compared to the previous financial year by the amount of 1.4 billion. In terms of economic classification, how is the budget broken down? The current payments, which includes compensation of employees as well as goods and services, we have the budget of 2.6 billion. And for transfers, that includes the transfers to the municipalities, we have the budget of 2.9. And payments for capital assets, that is related to all the infrastructure that we construct, we have the budget of 3.2. So in total, as I've indicated, is 8.8 billion. The following slide is just to indicate in terms of our pie chart, the cake that we have, which receives the biggest slice in sharing. So the biggest slice goes to the regional implementation with the allocation of 56%. And what follows that will be the water infrastructure management with the budget of 26% allocation. And the rest receive the little amount. The following slide is the comparison in terms of the years of which how we were allocated the budget. I've indicated that in overall, we have a cut of 1.4 billion compared to the previous financial year. In terms of program one, the decrease that we have experienced was an amount of 4.9 million. For program two, as you see the red, the blue, we had the decrease of 179. So in terms of the picture that is highlighted to yourself, is how the allocation per year for the MTEF that will be funded. The following slide is the indication in terms of the economic classification, the breakdown of where has been the decrease and in terms of the increase. In terms of the current year, the current payment is less than the other allocation in terms of the transfers as well as the payment of capital assets. That will be the end of my presentation. I'll then hand over to my colleague to take us through in terms of the budget allocation for the WTE.
Thank you, Ndabi Seng. I've just got two slides. I'm not sure, Vincent, if it's been printed.
Yeah.
Okay. Essentially, we're talking about program three, which is the infrastructure budget. What I'll be doing, I'll be talking to the numbers, and then Zandile is going to take us through the projects, the underlying detail. In essence, for 2012-13, as it's reflected there, we've got 2.3 billion, and how it's split up is 1.9 billion goes to actual infrastructure projects or various projects, which I'll talk about in a second. Included in the 2.3 billion is 159 million, which goes to proto CMAs, that is to subsidize the operations for proto CMAs. And the reason why there is a subsidy of this nature is because of our pricing strategy. It simply does not enable us to recover all the required expenditure that is necessary to necessarily incur within CMAs. Then we've got COBWA. COBWA is a joint venture between South Africa and Swaziland government for the construction of Majuba Dam and Mabibwe. So with 180 million that is paid on an annual basis in order to repay the a number of loans and also the interest costs associated with it. So that's really the structure of the 2.3 billion. The next one, it's really, really difficult to see there, but that's just an allocation of the various amounts to the projects. The WIP dam, our bulk distribution, and the amounts are really fairly large projects, about 14 billion total project costs. To date, we've spent 5.5 billion during the life of these projects, and the allocations is there 1.7 billion in 2012-13, 2.3 billion overall in 2013-14, and 2.4 billion in 2014-15. The detail of each of these projects, Daniela will be talking about just now, some of the risks associated with it, and also some of the benefits in terms of employment that is associated with these projects, and where we are in terms of the development and stage of completion of the project. So, over to you.
Responsible for infrastructure development. Mm-hmm. That is basically a resource
part of infrastructure, which is the construction of dams, canals, and tunnels that is contains raw water. My colleague Tandega will deal with the latter part, which conveys the water from the source to and distribute it to various users. So I'm responsible for the dam allocation. So the branch has two main functions, which is the development of new infrastructure, and we're also responsible for the operation and maintenance of existing infrastructure. That includes rehabilitation. The slide, Madam Chair, it shows the distribution of the infrastructure in the whole country. We're basically dealing with very large infrastructure, as you can see, and it's quite involving, and huge amounts of investment are involved in this infrastructure. Some of the infrastructure reflected there, you will notice that it was also highlighted in the President's State of the Nation address. One being the Mokolo Crocodile, which is the augmentation project. The way it was reflected was called the Waterbeg Sea. In the Waterbeg Sea of the PICC, we as the Department of Water Affairs are contributing with that Mokolo project. He also mentioned the Oliphant River Water Resource Development Project, which is at the WARF. It was also in the tunnel. The project started in 2006. We have finished the dam. We were at about 95% with the WARF dam, 95% completion with the dam. Running parallel with that, whilst we are busy with the impoundment, because our first impoundment will be starting in August. We have also started with the bulk distribution system that is now taking the water, conveying it from the Dewok Dam to the whole system right around the area of Dewok, Oliphant, and so forth. So that project, the bulk distribution system, has just started. We are anticipating that we will be completing the bulk distribution around 2016, depending on the funding that we're still working with now. You also have the Inkomati Water System Augmentation Project. Inkomati Water System Augmentation Project is around North Strait. This is fully funded from off budget. We entered into agreements with through our special purpose bag, which is the CCPA, with the users, the main users, which is your ESCOM, your SASOL around Nelson. Then we have the Moi Umgeni, which was also part of the SONI. Project is started. Projected completion is around 2015. The Hazelmere Dam, it is raising the Hazelmere Dam, is not building the Hazelmere Dam. Hazelmere Dam is already there. However, looking at the demand that the department is facing and the whole community of the Chagwini, there is a need for us to augment the supply of water in Hazelmere Dam. That is going to be done by raising the dam more, which means it will then enable Hazelmere Dam to be able to have more water than what it is currently able to hold. Then the last one, Madam Chair, will be the Glen William Dam. Glen William Dam, and both Glen William and Hazelmere are not new developments. We are also raising the Glen William again, just to augment the capacity of Glen William. Both projects are still at preliminary stage, just completed feasibilities. I must indicate at this stage that there is a possibility, especially on Hazelmere, of another delayed feasibility that we are busy with because of what the experiences that we had on the ground. But the project is already, the contractors are on site, the engineers are on site, but we just experienced some few challenges on that. I think what I've done is just a description of all the projects, the way I have explained it, Madam Chair. Yes. Okay. The other aspect that I spoke about is the rehabilitation of existing infrastructure. The infrastructure is spread all over the country, basically all over the country, and the pie chart indicates the spread of our infrastructure. You can see the largest portion is covered by the dams and the weirs, but you also have
There are other aspects of infrastructure which, as you know, Madam Chair, you will need pump stations to be able to pump water from the source in some instances. You will have servitude, you have buildings, you have canals, you have tunnels, and so forth. Those are spread all over the pie chart. That is the infrastructure that I think basically everybody who's in the room is in one way or the other getting his or her source of water from this. It's spread all over the country. Okay, you can go to the you. Adding there, it's just the extent on how big is the infrastructure. You are talking about currently the water trading entity, which is the part of water affairs that is responsible for those functions where in the department is able to recover costs because of the National Water Act. Okay, so the replacement cost of our infrastructure is currently sitting at 147,174,000,000, Madam Chair. It's quite a huge infrastructure. So this is the slide that my colleague was talking about. So we basically, ideally, Madam Chair, one would not want to see that aspect of the augmentation. If you look at our slide that my colleague shared with us, ideally you would not want to see the income. We're collecting a revenue of 5 billion. So all in all, Madam Chair, we collecting 1.7 billion and 3.7 billion, which basically makes about 5.4 billion that is collected by the entity. But then if you look at the total expenditure of the entity, we're talking about 8.6 billion. Now you realize, therefore, that from the revenue that we are generating, we're experiencing a shortfall. As my colleague indicated, the CFO, that due to the limitations of the pricing strategy, we have not been able as a department to break even in terms of our collection. This is what we're spending on infrastructure. The department is currently busy with a project where we're looking at reviewing the pricing strategy, and the target date for that is 2014. With that, we're aiming to make sure that we close the gap, Madam Chair, wherein we request on annual basis, our colleague, as she indicated, that she gives us about 2.4 billion, which we reflect as an augmentation. That augmentation assists us to deal with that shortfall emanating from from our inability to collect adequate revenue. I'm going to put it at that level, Madam Chair, and give it to my colleagues to deal with the regions in the
information. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Here we will basically talk about progress that has been attained in terms of meeting the MDGs. And Chair, I would like to repeat once more again the point that was made by the DG, that the department is responsible for ensuring that there's development of the resource, which is the problem that Zandile just talked about. The provision of the water itself, water services, is the responsibility of municipality. However, Minister has taken an approach that says, as a department, we have to make sure that the whole value chain and how it functions is the business of the department. So that is why we have intervention measures, we have programs, for instance, that the CFO talked about that are providing bulk infrastructure to municipalities. Essentially, our country has in 1994 committed to basic water supply delivery. And we know that we refer to this achievement as we say we have met the MDG, in the sense that the MDG target was to halve the backlog of people without water and sanitation, even though sanitation is not our responsibility. We achieved this as a country in 2005. Chair, you made a point earlier on that we shouldn't talk about things on paper that are not necessarily visible on the ground, and I'll be talking a lot about the kind of challenges. So if we say already in 2005 we have halved the number of people without water and sanitation, what does it mean practically on the ground? To a great extent, we can really attribute the success to the fact that there was a strong political drive, the dedication, leadership at that point. That is why we were able to make to reach the target. Progress. We started in 1994, Chair, and at that time the backlog was at 41%. Currently, we are saying the backlog is at 5.3%. Now, if you go through various provinces, which is what part of your work, you come across so many communities without water. I will be talking about those challenges. The figures that we're reporting on really reflect access to infrastructure, the level of investment that this country has made in providing the infrastructure. And we also have figures that are based on the updated stats. However, Chair, as I indicated, I want to speak to the dynamics that we find ourselves having to deal with as a department. This is a table representation of what I talked about, and I would like to quickly get into the slide that deals with the challenges. Okay. Chair, much as we say as a country and that we have met the MDG target, and at the moment we are standing at 94.7 people, the reality of the situation throughout all provinces is the people that were provided with infrastructure in many cases are not getting water. And this can be attributed to a great extent to the operation and maintenance of that infrastructure and the skills that are required and many other factors that I'll be talking to. So I am this is the context, really, the statement that Minister has been making, that as a country we've come to a point where we realize we can no longer focus on investing in new infrastructure, but we have to make the infrastructure that we have functional, because even though people have infrastructure, there's no water coming out of the tap. The delivery process itself, Chair, is very complex currently, as you may appreciate. Municipalities that are charged with this responsibility, many of them experience capacity problems, but as a department nationally, we come in with programs like the regional bulk infrastructure to support. So looking at the delivery environment, it's quite complex, and it requires a multi-pronged approach to be able to deal with these challenges. This table, Chairperson and Honourable Members, just shows over the period 2009-2010 the performance of provinces, of various provinces. And you can see that there are provinces where there are serious challenges in terms of stability of the service itself. That would be your Mpumalanga, and I can summarize problems in Mpumalanga and say communities in Mpumalanga are demanding higher levels of service, and the infrastructure that exists there is no longer able to deal with that kind of a demand. But you also have huge losses when it comes to water conservation. Your Limpopo, mainly the challenges there relate to the ability of many municipalities to operate and maintain infrastructure and to invest in the refurbishment of the infrastructure. There are provinces that are doing fairly well, like your Western Cape. Free State has been experiencing problems when it comes to the quality of the infrastructure, the bulk of your treatment work. So there has been also incidents of service delivery challenges. Chairperson, here I would like to make the point that I've just made,
to reiterate the challenge, we've just zoomed into the Umtata. As the blue line show bulk infrastructure, and we have a big blue, it's the Umtata Dam. As you can see, there's a lot of investment illustrated by the blue line of infrastructure, both reticulation and bulk infrastructure. However, in red, you see communities that are not receiving water, despite the fact that you do have infrastructure. So it's not a question, of course, we say we need more investment in infrastructure, but the key is to communities that have received infrastructure, do they get water? The following slide shows availability of water in various towns. We have done, as a department, as part of our responsibility, looked at demand for water, look at what exists at the moment, projecting demand in future, and infrastructure requirements thereof. And as you can see, you have your red spots where the town is already in deficit in terms of available resource. Many of our towns are already in deficit, and this is illustrated by red and amber. Very few, of course, you still do have towns where water is still available and there will be no need for investment, at least in the next 10 years. So the situation itself, and this is where we come in as a department, says we need to make sure that we conserve water, we need to work closely with municipalities to use appropriate technology to make sure that we don't get into water problems. The way ahead that we're looking at, Chair, we're looking at social security, economic and environmental risks. We say without water there can't be any development in this country, and the strategic importance of water should be appreciated by all. We're saying, given the challenges that now we're facing, and relative to the progress that we made when we were still implementing the program, we as a department should really provide hands-on leadership to make sure that we work together with the municipality to deal with their complex challenges. We require an integrated sector coordination approach, but we have to look at the five streams that I'll be talking on in the next slide. And so we have to be realistic. The target currently that government is working on is 2014. With the current challenges and the delivery trends, including available money in the country, we're not likely to meet that challenge unless something very drastic happens. On top of this, Cabinet Lekgotla, as you may be aware, has prioritized 23 district municipalities, and we are working with those to deal with that challenge. This slide again just shows the number of protests in the past 5 years, and I'm sure the picture now is much more bleak, because we're looking here at the average in the last 5 years, and you would have your provinces like Mpumalanga, Limpopo, really experiencing a high level of service disruption. And this comes mainly from issues that I talked about earlier on relating to ability to operate the infrastructure. Sure, this is the picture in a nutshell. You have your formal backlog, which is the backlog where we say we have attained 94%, but you also have backlog that is related to the housing. People who don't have houses, who require these services. But to complicate it even further, you have backlog that's related now to people who have infrastructure, but this infrastructure is not functioning. And then you have people who can't get water because there is no bulk infrastructure that's required. They may have need funding, but we need to come in with more investment from the department side to build infrastructure. And then the whole issue of water security. We are a water scarce country and we need to conserve our water. So this is just a presentation of the 23 district municipalities with the highest backlogs, and these were prioritized by a cabinet. We're working closely with these municipalities. We have identified the water needs, and we're working with the municipalities themselves to make sure that effort is an investment. Need funding, bulk infrastructure goes into making a difference into these areas. Chair, really, this is a repetition of the interventions from the department, and the reason why we put this slide is just to show how we have been able to make a difference with the limited funding that we have, bearing in mind that 7 billion of funding goes to municipality directly. Ours is a very small portion. That is why we have to work hard to stretch each and every rand to try and make a difference. And this is a distribution of the infrastructure, just zooming into the Eastern Cape. Rapidly growing towns, and bear in mind the slide that I showed earlier on that had red spots. Something needs to be done proactively to make sure that in these towns where there's rapid growth, we don't run out of water. Hotspots in terms of and the Khutla identification. Again, 45 municipalities with many informal settlements. That is why we need to work closely with the Department of Human Settlement to deal with this backlog. And then the very last slide, Chair, which summarizes the point I made earlier on. The point is, we say nationally 94% of our population has received water. If you just look at the Eastern Cape and this, you see that we still have a high percentage of green dots of people without, who have never had access to water at all. Chair, this is where I would like to end and to say we work, Minister has tasked us to assess what needs to be done and to come up with a comprehensive plan that we can present to National Treasury to deal with these challenges. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this remarkable presentation. Before that, let me welcome Honorable Makubela in the meeting. Sorry, she is late, but maybe there are some things that she has been, maybe has gone to other meetings, because there's a lot of meetings, but let me welcome you, Honorable Makubela, because we understand that we are not well, but now we see that you are very well. You are like Mpana. You are very well. Thank God that you come here for our community. But as I said earlier that we don't have time, I will let the members to answer the question, the officials, and then I think the we'll need the responses in writing just because we don't have time. So they must jot it down by the end of this week. You must have those questions. But as you said, that when I said in the department in the environmental affairs that we are the committee that we are doing the oversight now and again. But when you look outside, there are a lot of process about water. So I don't know what is it because. And again, I don't see in your program or in your budget about Umzimvubu River. What is happening about Umzimvubu River? Because it was initiated also even in the Sona that the Umzimvubu River is going to be built, but I don't see anything. Maybe there you missed somewhere, I don't know. But according to the committee, also myself, if you go out in the rural areas, there is no water. And there is no water even those who can drink for the, there is no water for even for drinking animals. So how can you live without water? Water is life. So how can you live without water? So if we are sitting here with these nice documents, whatever, but there's nothing outside, it means we are doing nothing. So I think I must just talk to that only because this issue of water is frustrating us as a committee. As much as we going out, we see this pro what is it? Yes. That's it. Okay, Honorable Mkhoro, Honorable West, Honorable Onel, and Honorable Makule. Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So it's a pity you don't have time.
Yes.
But one would like to know whether the Department of Water Affairs does have the picture, the national picture of water, especially in the rural areas. Mm. You know very, very well, Chair, that in the beginning of this year we went to Mzimkulu. From there we crossed over to Pondoland. And there is one serious cry about the people in these areas. And not only in these areas, as I say, a national picture. People cry of water.
Mm.
In the eastern Pondoland, we found, a dire situation where people don't even have water to wash their hands before they eat.
Mm.
You can just as well imagine. Where people still go into the fell to relieve themselves because there's not even any toilet that is functioning. Where you find, the whole community crying of water.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you one thing. One member of the community in Eastern Pondoland stood there in front of us in a hall full of people. And he expressed something that really I never thought it could come from a member of the community. When he said, if there's anything that can make the government to fail, that would be the responsibility of the officials in the department. You remember what he said? That would be the responsibility and to be blamed, department. Now, here you get, according to the presentation of the lady there, infrastructure is there, but there's no water coming out of the tap. Now, that's mind-boggling. Why would you have an infrastructure? What is the use of that infrastructure? And you don't have water coming out of the tank. I don't know really what explanation is there, or what answer one can expect from a situation. If it is maintenance, why is the infrastructure not maintained? Mr. DG, although you are new, but you must come with some revolutionary ideas. I see your beard. Why you seem to be quite a grown-up man like myself. But I should think that the whiteness of your beard indicates wisdom. You must have something that really must be able to alleviate the people in rural areas. Yeah, my question is, why would we have infrastructure and people don't have water out of coming out of them? How many agencies do you have in your department? And what is the work of those agencies? If it water related, what is your department then doing? If you are working through agencies, what is the responsibility of the department? As a department, are you to sell water as a heir from the DG? Your opening brief was you sell water. Why would you sell water to people in the rural areas who don't even have work to earn income? How will they buy water from you? We hear that, Chair, that South Africa is a water scarce country. Truly speaking, it is like that. And a necessity is the mother of invention. I don't say you must invent water, but you must make means to see to it that the little we have, we share it amongst ourselves equally. What is your department doing in seeing to it that people who don't have water, but at least they get an equitable share from the little that we have? I was in Botswana sometime last year. They were telling me that they got a water pipe, which they call, what do you call it? The North-South Carrier. The North-South Carrier. It carries water a distance of more than 500 kilometers from the north, bring it to the south, because that's where the concentration of the population of Botswana is. Why, if we have no ideas, can we not get into these little countries next to us here and just ask them to tell us about their systems? And maybe from there we can get something that can be applied here in our country. We cannot just keep on singing the same song that South Africa is a water scarce country. South Africa is year in and year out. I think this is time that Chair, the department must be jacked up. We have sometimes also early this year seen the minister flying with a helicopter over the Baal area, checking people who are stealing water. And those are the people who causes this unequal provision of water, because they steal water. And department seemingly does not even know that there are people who, and they are not stealing a bottle of water. They are stealing the whole irrigation. Can you imagine? Which could probably be provided to some other dire community.
Okay, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a lot of questions here, but due to the fact that we don't have time,
I think it will be proper that if you can put those questions and give it straight to us, that us will give straight to the department, and then they will get them. Another to honest, because really we don't have time, we need to move, just remember.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I really appreciate the fact that I heard that Ken William Dam is now on the list in terms of programs. That was one of the dams which I personally see had to go to the minister. But I don't hear anything about the Kamdebu Dam. I think Kamdebu Dam is a threat in terms of its risk on itself presently. The council did spoke to the provincial counterparts, but the department don't want to take responsibility in terms of maintaining the debt because of the expenditure of the maintenance that the council can afford. So I would like to hear, before my term of office are ending here, about the Kamdebu Dam as well. The chairperson. The issue for me is in terms of the delay in the approval of the water supply projects. It's one of the issues which it is raised constantly, which bring me to the catchment license. There is a use car outside saying there is a long list of delays in terms of the license for catchment. And we must be able to put measures in place to fast track that, I think, because many of the farmers outside are affected because of that. The National Treasury Director of Public Finance raised a few issues. Let me just count on four. The capital project investment, it has a concern in terms of the capacity in the department. Then they said the lack of technical capacity as well in the department concerned. Because this company, the technical skills are almost one of these skills which the department needs to acquire. There is also raised the issue of the revenues, revenue collection, your capacity of the department to raise, to collect your revenue outside there. And the presenter, the regional presenter, just alluded to the fact that there is a wish list here of saying 2014, which will never be realistic because of the funding in our country. And if you are, if you can't collect your own revenue, which might assist you in terms of fast tracking your objective of 2014. The other issue is also which I want to raise, Chairperson, is the issue of your using of service providers in your department. Your personal budget is almost matching the expenditure which you spend on service providers outside. So which means that if your personal budget is on stands on 30%, then it's actually 15% on personal, and another 15% is on your service provider in terms of your expenditure, which match your personal budget almost. The other critical issue, Chairperson, is the issue of your vacancy rate in the department. I think it stands at 40%. The last one, Chairperson, due to time constraint, they are saying that 28% of the households are getting unsatisfactory sanitation services, 28%. And the other 28% is at risk in terms of the infrastructure. Can you just get some clarity points around that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was in another meeting for appropriation of Tilcup for Trump, and I asked this one. My question is, as well, despite that, well, it was not even necessary for me to hear the first presentation where I started, because I'm coming from the provincial week. The picture which is given here is not what is happening on the ground. As Honorable Mohorez indicated. But my question is, you are saying South Africa already committed to basic water supply delivery in 1994. I agree. You started there because the water was only made for whites during money good times. How will you reach, or the first one, is this report coming from the information from the ground, from the local municipalities, or from the libraries where you consulted books and come out with this report? I'm not sarcastic, it's a fact. Because when you take the issue which on which we have seen on the ground, it's not the same with this one. For example, Giani municipality, 35 million is the shortage of money which was not even collected and paid by the department for services. 35 million. Zanini, 26 million. How will you expect the municipality to function if you don't have that collection rate? You know, how can you? You are saying Limpopo, the challenge is the maintaining and ability to operate, you know. How can you say that? Because how many people have been trained to deal with this, want to keep up the ability to want to operate the machine or the infrastructure, as you have indicated there? The target to achieve is 100% access to basic water supply by 2014. Is it a something, or is it a factual from the province? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mark.
we don't have time. Really, the thing that we see on the ground is not the thing that reflects on the paper. So that's why now we are a little bit not comfortable, because outside we see the different picture, in the books we see another picture. So I think if we can correct those things, and we have a strategy as a committee that when we are going out in on oversight, we will receive our request from you to say, give us one official to go with. Because we don't want to answer these questions from the community. The official from the department must answer the questions, because if, for example, they ask, we don't have water for quite a more, 2 years, 3 years, we can't say when are we going to get the water. So we refer those questions to the officials to answer the questions to the community. So you will receive some requests from us to say that we are going to ask this province, we want somebody to go with to answer those questions. So you are new, but you must fit, you must make your shoes tight, because we want the services in the community. I think, honorable members, I don't want to, because we've got a couple of minutes that we need to go through, and we don't have time. So, as I said before, that I will release the department, and then they will respond before the end of this week, because we want those questions, because we're going to have that our budget votes were our debate. So we wanted to have those questions. We're going to get another couple of questions from our committee secretary, because there are questions that the members would need questions just because of the time. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you very much. Have a nice journey. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say something, Tishi? There is in front of you, it's not working.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, so I just to thank the members of the committee for the opportunity. It's a pity there's a rush on all sides.
Yes.
But I'm not sure your day is possible when your secretary will be ready. Our team is here for the next 2 days. That is the day we are presenting tomorrow as well. If the questions are ready during the course of the day, I would request that they be made available so that the team can start working here. I prefer that way, because when you get back to Pretoria, they go different directions, but different, just that request, it is possible. Otherwise, yeah, even those that were not spoken to, we undertake to respond very quickly.
You said that you are going to be here for 2 days, ne?
Yes.
Oh, so the officials are going to be here for 2 days. If there's anyone who has got some questions, honorable, for, I think you must present those questions and give it to us, and then the official will be able to answer those questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honourable members, it's going to be one, we don't have time for this minutes now. Because at 1:30 we must be in the chamber. Did you receive that we must go to the old chamber of the SOP, not in the old assembly, honourable members, in our house at 1:30? Yes. So I think I must release you, honourable members. Thank you very much.